This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Time for farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. Light snow is being seen at this hour in eastern Dakotas. In the eastern Dakotas, temperatures in the single digits and teens are also happening at this hour. Highs are expected generally in the 20s today. Much colder conditions expected for Thanksgiving and continuing right on through the weekend.
Well, tariff concerns are having an impact on the ag commodities. Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On is watching the market, corn market, closely.
Far more concerning for corn than I do the other markets, right? We know what it's like to work through the tariffs and the trade war life with China when it comes to soybeans, but this would be something so new for us in the corn market. And Mexico is our number one corn buyer. It also has a lot of implications when it comes to fertilizer prices. We get quite a bit of fertilizer from Canada. Not only that, we get a lot of produce from Mexico.
And Van On says the tariffs will impact more than just commodities.
What happens if we see food inflation prices again, inflation in general? What does that do for interest rates? We know that in a higher interest rate culture, that is not a friend to commodity prices, at least it hasn't been in the past. So I just think the market, the more they dig into this, the more concerned they get. That does not mean that we think this range of trade has changed at all.
Demand continues to support grain and livestock markets. RCM Ag Services analyst Steve Wagner expects upfront demand to stay strong.
Because I think what you've got is, you know, exports that are being bought out of the U.S. ahead of any tariffs that are going to come on here after January 20th. I think there's a fair amount of U.S. export, both corn, beans, wheat, cattle, hogs, all of it. You got people buying product today so that they can forego the possible tariff problem in January.
Low commodity prices, high input costs have farmers tightening the purse strings. But for farm laborers, the opposite might be true. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
November's farm labor survey showed some interesting data indicating farm laborers are seeing an increase in wages heading into 2025. American Farm Bureau economist Samantha Ayoub shares a look at labor costs throughout the country.
The November Farm Labor Survey release told us that combined field and livestock worker wages were $18.12 nationally, up 3.2% from the 2023 release. However, no one realistically pays the national wage, so regionally there was an average of about a 4.5% increase in regional wages.
Wage rates differ depending on location.
There was actually a decrease in the Lake region, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, down 2% to $18.15. But then we have places like the Southeast, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, with nearly 10% increases. California is finally not the highest paying state in the country. They've been surpassed by Hawaii at $20.08, up 7.2% from 2023.
Adverse effect wage rate will be calculated using this data.
The Farm Labor Survey's combined field and livestock worker wage becomes the adverse effect wage rate that DOL uses for six different standard occupation codes, and that's going to comprise 96% of H-2A workers. In December, they will post the adverse effect wage rate, which is in essence copy and pasted from the Farm Labor Survey, and that will become the field and farm worker wage for H-2A workers. It's also going to vary across the country as to when you have to start paying that wage because of the injunction on the worker protection rule.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Jameson Greer as his trade representative. Greer served as chief of staff to Robert Lighthizer, who led the U.S. Trade Representative's office during Trump's first term. After his time at USTR, Greer was a partner in a multinational corporate law firm with a focus on international trade.
If Congress doesn't address the farm bill before the end of the year, agricultural policy will revert to permanent law. Parity would push milk prices to more than $49 a hundredweight, more than double the current Class 1 price. If that dairy cliff happened, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said there would be a recession in the next week. speaking at a dairy farm in New York, Schumer said Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow and Ranking Member John Bozeman will have a permanent farm bill ready before the end of the year. However, Washington insiders indicate a one-year farm bill extension is more likely. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Americans consumed record amounts of dairy products in 2023, with butter and cheese consumption at historic highs. USDA reports per capita consumption of dairy products reached 661 pounds per person in 2023, an increase of 7 pounds per person over the previous year and matching the record set in 2021. U.S. cheese consumption totaled 42.3 pounds per person, butter consumption 6.5 pounds, both record high. Yogurt sales were up while the sales of fluid milk and ice cream declined.
Minnesota's soil health has been at the forefront of environmental discussions. Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation District's Executive Director Leanne Buck says that remains the case heading into the state legislative session.
Yeah, I think part of what we're looking at is, as we move forward, we're looking at the various things with the state legislature when it comes to voluntary conservation programs. One of the things that we address is we know the amendment that had passed in Minnesota, many of the provisions that we work with landowners to do conservation practices, best management practices, many of those efforts are being funded by the Clean Water Legacy Act. And we also know there's a backlog of landowners and farmers across the state of Minnesota that are seeking some of those practices and incentive-based funding options for those.
Conservation can take many forms.
Conservation practices could be a sediment basin, waterway, prairie plantings, native grass, just things to meet the landowners and what they're looking for to improve, you know, their soil health activities. So that's one item that we're looking at as we move into the 2025 legislative session on some of those advocacy roles that we can play with that. I think the other thing that we're really looking at is last year we were very successful in obtaining some additional farm bill program dollars in Minnesota that focus on soil health, and that could be cover crops or reduced tillage or nutrient management.
The University of Minnesota Crookston is launching the Berglund Lecture Series to promote new ideas to enhance agriculture and rural communities. This program is named for Bob Berglund, who served as Agriculture Secretary during the Carter administration and served in Congress for 6 years. UMC Chancellor Mary Holes Claus sees Berglund as an authentic individual.
He would walk into a coffee shop and be just as, you know, just as genuine there as genuine as he was representing the farmers' interests in Washington and around the world.
Geopolitical specialist Jacob Shapiro will be featured in the inaugural lecture.
Jacob Shapiro is a very well-studied person. He speaks around the country. He's also focused a lot on agricultural audiences, so much of everything that he'll tell us is very relevant to what's happening in the agricultural field.
That includes comments about the Trump presidency and world events. This program will be held Thursday, December 5th. In Crookston.
Just a reminder, markets will be closing at their regular time today, be closed tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day. Friday, they open at 8:30, closing at noon. Volume, though, expected to be very thin.
Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson was at the White House Monday for the presentation of the National Thanksgiving Day turkeys. That was followed by similar ceremonies at the state capitol yesterday for turkeys and Christmas trees. Peterson said Minnesota is number one in turkey production nationwide.
Also the Christmas tree, over 70 Christmas tree farms in our Minnesota Grown Directory, an important business for especially my area of the state. Christmas tree farms bring a lot of dollars and added value to agriculture. So always interesting, Don. Never a dull moment.
Hay prices were steady to slightly higher in November. According to the Hay Market Demand and Price Report for the Upper Midwest, prime alfalfa hay averaged $171 per ton for large squares. That's down from $237 a year ago. Price for large rounds is averaging $112 a ton, which is nearly half the price seen a year ago. Grade 1 hay is valued at $115 per ton for large squares, down from $213 a ton a year ago.
The Farmer-Led Agriculture Fertilizer Research Education Council Central, AFREC is seeking two new board members to help expand fertilizer research, education, and outreach in Minnesota. The 2024 legislative session expanded AFREC to include a new member. Applications are due the 20th of December. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The 2024 Minnesota Canola Symposium being held at the Roseau Community Center a week from Friday, December 6th. Minnesota Canola Council Associate Director John Doctor said this year's symposium will focus on research and market development.
Industry representatives are going to be on hand who are going to kick off the event with kind of what we refer to as a canola spotlight. Folks from BASF, Cropland, DeKalb, CHS, Pioneer are all going to talk about what they have in terms of products and services for the coming year, what growers can look forward to, maybe new hybrids on the market, new services or opportunities to market their grain through those folks. And so that's going to kick off the event, and then we'll go from there right into kind of an update on research that we've had ongoing this past year.
Canola numbers across Minnesota have been steadily improving.
What's exciting about canola growth in Minnesota is that for the first time since 2000, we are over 100,000 acres according to USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. We hit 102,000 acres, and like I said, we haven't been that high for a very long time. With new hybrids and agreeable weather and better yields, I think our yield, average yield in Minnesota, according to NASS, is around 2,400 pounds an acre. So that's what folks are excited about in terms of canola production moving forward. Hopefully for the coming year, we'll improve upon that even more.
Westbred had 12 of the 26 national winners in the National Wheat Yield Contest. Westbred Marketing Manager Kerry Roach said the combination of high-producing wheat varieties and management-intensive production delivers yield. Quality is also part of this contest.
You know, we can't have high-performing varieties and just hit those bushels without making sure that we're hitting the quality for them, because that's really what we need downstream.
Wheat variety decisions are being made earlier and earlier.
You know, I think there's a lot of wheat out there right now, but I think making sure that you're locking in those varieties, especially if you've got your eye on one, is going to be really important right now. So talk to your seed supplier about which Westbred variety is best for you, and get that locked in so that you can, you know, achieve those yields, performance, and high quality.
Checking markets, we have Minneapolis wheat, the Dease contract, a penny lower at 576 and a half. The Chicago wheat, December, at 537 and three quarters, down 1 3/4. Hard red winter wheat, the same contract, down 3 cents. Corn's higher this morning, 1 1/2 higher anyway, 421 and a half for the new crop contract. January soybeans, 988 and three quarters. It is a gain of 5 1/4, March 4 1/4 cents higher. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota Agricultural Association will be hosting its annual Agribusiness Expo. It'll be held December 2nd and 3rd, that's Monday, Tuesday, at the Delta Hotel in Fargo. They'll start with the trade show at 1 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday, the trade show as well. They also have speakers, including the Region Ag Advisor for EPA, talking about EPA's herbicide and insecticide strategies. And they'll be having Ag Advocate Trent Luce talking about maintaining a domestic supply of food and fuel for the future. Again, all coming up next week in Fargo. Have yourself a great day and happy Thanksgiving. This is the Red River Farm Network.